Yesterday, the Nolan Show had a caller which outraged many of you. It's one of the most talked about things there was yesterday. It was trending. Many people talking about caller Janice, who came on to the radio and created, I guess, a big talking point yesterday. Let's just remind ourselves about some of what she had to say.
I want to know why so many Muslims want to come to non-Muslim countries as refugees when there's so many Muslim countries they could go to.
They are going to Muslim countries. They're already going to Muslim countries. But what has that got to do with being a human being, helping another human being? Come on.
Let the rich Muslim countries look after them. Why should we, as non-Muslim, majority non-Muslim countries, have to look after these people? They obviously don't want to integrate. They want to turn us all into Muslims.
Well, Janice, that is an outrageous statement to make, isn't it?
Hold on.
An absolutely outrageous statement. And can I remind you, you live in Belfast, correct?
And if I wanted to emigrate,
you live in Belfast, correct, Janice?
To a Muslim country, I would go
Janice,
to a Christian country.
Janice, you live in Belfast, correct?
Yes.
Right. Well, there are Muslims, believe it or not, Janice, there are many decent Muslims living, working, breathing, contributing to the economy in Belfast, as much a Northern Irish citizen as you are.
They're not integrating, Stephen.
Don't be ridiculous.
They're not integrating. They want their mosque. They want to take over.
So, that was just some of yesterday's show. 030 30 80 55 55. What is interesting is after that programme, there were quite a few of you actually saying, look, Janice shouldn't have been allowed on air. You're entitled to your opinion. We took the view, actually, that we've got to air some of those more extreme views so that they can be challenged and also so that we can understand how some people think. Here's what was really interesting. After the programme yesterday, we went and we had a look at the most recent social attitude survey. This is the 2015 survey. And these are questions specifically researched. These numbers are specifically relating to Northern Ireland. Have a listen to these numbers. I was surprised. Would you accept Muslims as a resident in your local area? 45% said no. Would you accept a Muslim as a colleague? 50% said no. Would you accept a Muslim as a close friend? 60% said no. Now, remember, this is a robust survey. This is the Northern Ireland Social Attitudes Survey. 60% saying they wouldn't accept a Muslim as a close friend. Would you accept a Muslim as a relative by marriage? 68% said no. And what's really interesting about this social attitude survey is that if you then look at other minority ethnic groups, those similar questions. Well, let's just compare, for example, would you accept Muslims as a resident in your local area? 45% said no. Would you accept any other minority ethnic groups as a resident in your local area? 88% said yes. So once it comes away from Muslims, the trend changes. Isn't that interesting? So was that caller, Janice, yesterday, although there's no doubt her view was extreme, is she out on her own? And you might remember how I finished the programme yesterday saying how many Janices are out there. Mohammed Shafiq is with us this morning from the Ramadan Foundation. Morning to you, Mohammed.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning to you. Katie Hopkins with us today. Katie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Broadcaster, morning, Katie. Mohammed, are you surprised by this in Northern Ireland?
I'm not surprised. I think we live in a climate where there is rising anti-Muslim hatred, where it's come commonplace to demonise Muslims as if we're aliens, we're cockroaches, and other analogies.
But where is this coming from?
Commenters. Well, I think there's inherent anti-Muslim hatred, which is about, it's coming from politicians. It's coming, sadly, from commentators like Katie Hopkins and the violent views that she does on Facebook and Twitter and through the Daily Mail column. Where it's become normalised, to see Muslims as aliens and as not vibrant members of the community, and I think that's the problem. Yes, you can have a problem with the Muslim faith. You can challenge it, you can ridicule it, you can, question it. But what isn't acceptable is to tarnish a whole faith system based on the actions of a very small minority.
Kitty?
Firstly, I'm not on Facebook, so some of the allegations being made there are...
Well, Twitter and the Daily Mail.
...any basis in reality. But I think, if we go back to the sort of fundamental point, I discussed this on my radio show at the weekend, and I asked my Muslim callers, why is it that individuals fleeing Muslim lands seem to always want to come to Christian countries? If Islam's so great, why don't people remain in countries where the Islamic faith is practiced? And my Muslim callers, who were supporters of Trump, surprisingly actually for many, said that because the Islamic faith at the moment is a very divisive faith, there's a lot of conflict between Sunni and Shias and others, and that's why they're coming over to Western countries, because they want our democracy. My challenge back then, of course, was, well, if Muslims enjoy democracy in the West, why then do they want to also bring Sharia law with them? So I think that's part of the conflict, is a genuine... I think you're kind of being slightly unkind to your caller from yesterday, calling her extreme. I think what she's trying to articulate is a very common sense... I'm going to finish. Is a very common sense viewpoint, which is, if you love Islam so much, why not stay in countries that practice Islam?
Just to be clear, Kitty...
Mm, of course.
How I responded, the reason I said it was an extreme view...
You called her extreme.
Yes, the reason I said that is, she said that she would rather die than be treated by a Muslim doctor.
She went on.
You don't think that's extreme?
As you know, Stephen, you get to do this nearly every day, so you can remain calm. Some people get excited when they're talking, may say things that verge on this being a little bit surprising. But her point that she's making, as you will appreciate, is not extreme. It says, if you love Islam so much, why not stay in a Muslim country?
No.
It says... And also, Stephen, you spent a lot of time at the start of this conversation telling your listeners a bunch of stats. Now, if we look at the recent BBC survey on Muslims, 27% of Muslims living in the United Kingdom have sympathy with the Charlie Hebdo attacks, where Muslim terrorists went in and shot dead most of a satirical magazine staff. 27% of Muslims living in our country today have sympathy with the attackers and their shotgun. I think that's quite alarming.
Mohammed,
well,
you can respond, of course.
Well, I think the first point is that there are 4 million Syrian refugees in Muslim countries, and the idea that everybody is wanting to come and live in the West, I think it's actually a vote of confidence.
Why is there such a fuss about that?
It's a vote... There's a vote of confidence.
Let's let Mohammed finish.
Katie, just calm down. There is a vote of confidence in our democracy and our freedoms, and I think that's something to cherish. But, you know, Katie Hopkins represents the same mould of people. You've got neo-Nazis, you've got the far right, and then you've got Katie Hopkins as their cheerleader.
No, she's not their cheerleader. And Kitty, you will want to respond to that.
She just defended somebody who said she'd rather die than be treated by a
Kitty
Muslim
didn't say
doctor.
That. A caller said that.
I'm talking about the caller said that, and she defended that person. And in my books, that's part of the problem. And when you have inflammatory language by the likes of Katie Hopkins, Kitty, can I just understand?
Hold on.
It creates an environment, Stephen, where it becomes normalised to demonise Muslims.
Okay, Mohammed, one second.
Mohammed,
Kitty, can I just establish this for what you were saying earlier? Are you saying that Muslims should stay in Muslim countries?
I'm saying... But a simple question that hasn't been asked, and I think it's what your caller referred to yesterday, is if Islam is so fantastic and people that want to come to our countries want to carry on practicing as Muslims, and I thoroughly respect that, but if Islam is so fantastic, why not stay in countries that are practicing Islam, that are Muslim countries? Secondly, if so many people do want to come to America, this is about Donald Trump's temporary travel ban on 7 countries, I think it's a great period, a 90-day period, to reflect on how fortunate so many people are to be given a home in the land of the free. It's very fortunate that Donald Trump has said, you know what, if you're going to love our people, if you will love our country, you are welcome here. Now, it's not really a Muslim ban, I don't think of it that way.
He described it as a Muslim ban when he was campaigning.
Yes, indeed, Stephen, but I don't see it as a Muslim ban. I see it as an invitation to be American, because Donald Trump, I stood there in front of him at his inauguration when he said, I will put American people first. And I think you will find, Stephen, a lot of support out there.
Some American citizens are Muslim.
And how do you define American?
Sorry, I didn't understand your English. Carry on again.
I mean, see, this is how do you define American?
For me, an American person is a patriot. It's somebody who's willing to stand up for the American people and somebody who does not wish harm on the American people. And I think a lot of people are surprised. If I may, Mohammed, for one moment, a lot of people
Kitty, you can finish your point, then Mohammed, you can reply.
It seems to me there's a lot more outrage about a few travellers and tourists stuck at airports like JFK than there ever was about a great number of men, women and children blown up at Brussels airport by Muslim terrorists. I think we've got our perspectives a little bit wrong.
There were also Irish terrorists, and everybody from Ireland was not banned from a country. There are also English terrorists. Nobody from England is banned.
I think what you've forgotten here is Israelis have been banned from 16 Muslim countries for decades now, and no one's complained about that. It seems to me it's just because this is to do with Muslims. No one has stood up and protest about Israelis being banned from 16 countries. No one seems to be aware of it.
And Mohammed, I'll let you come back.
Are you aware of the Israeli ban, Stephen?
Yes, I am. Of course I am.
And why aren't you talking about that then, sir?
You're talking about it.
I'm asking why you aren't talking about the Israeli ban. Why is there no fuss about Israelis being banned from travelling to Muslim countries, sir?
Kitty, here's the score. You've got a weekend radio show. I present 9 radio shows a week. Don't tell me how to do my job. Mohammed Shafiq, go ahead, Mohammed.
Well, if Katie is so eager to talk about these issues, actually, if you look at the issue of terrorism, Stephen, you know this, I've been subjected to death threats from Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab for the work that we do against terrorism. So we won't take any lectures from Katie Hopkins and her fellow far-right travellers about how to defeat the issue of terrorism. We recognise that we've got a problem around that. Actually, I'm a British citizen. I was born in this country. So I'm not worried about what goes on in Saudi Arabia or anywhere else. I'm worried about what goes on in this country. And, you know, when we have callers calling into a national radio station and saying they'd rather die than be treated by a Muslim, it just reminds you what happened in the run-up to Second World War to the Jewish community. And so I just think language is very important. And inflammatory comments by politicians or commentators divide communities, and we should be encouraging people to bring people together. And I think you just heard Katie Hopkins.
I do like it. I do love the way people talk about bringing people together. I'm not going to let Mohammed finish.
Katie Hopkins defending somebody who makes inflammatory and racist comments towards Muslims, I think just sums up the debate.
Okay, Kitty, can I just establish the view that the caller expressed yesterday, that she would rather die than be treated by a Muslim doctor, statement that really, really shocked people yesterday.
Okay, and I take that. Nobody is supporting that statement.
She's not, Mohammed.
No, Mohammed.
She's defending Mohammed.
Let's let Kitty finish now.
Hold on, Mohammed. Stop.
Go ahead, Kitty.
Mohammed, nobody is defending that kind of outrageous remark by the lady. I think what I am defending is her right to question why Muslims don't remain in Muslim countries when they're fleeing a terror or war or whatever, if Islam is so fantastic. She made a valid point. The reason that comment is flown is because she's tapped into something. I asked the same question on my radio show on Sunday. It's the most watched clip for 2017. You know, there's a reason people are interested. It's because that question hasn't been asked. No one's supporting the more outrageous thing she went on to say, which we all know people get a little bit worked up, just like you did earlier, Mohammed, when you were calling me names. But I think what we do recognise, it's a valid question to ask, and Stephen will carry on asking it, why don't Muslim remain in Islamic countries? Why must they come to the West and to Christian countries?
I want to leave a lot of room for callers this morning. Go ahead, Mohammed.
I just think that the fact that Katie Hopkins doesn't condemn that type of inflammatory comments, and the idea that the vast majority of refugees from Syria and Yemen have remained in Muslim countries, and you know, this is part of an attempt to demonize refugees, to belittle the fact. And Britain's got a proud history, Stephen, of providing shelter to refugees, and long may that continue.
What I'm interested in this morning in particular, Mohammed, is that, you know, when some people call views extreme, if you look at this Northern Ireland Social Attitude Survey, would you accept a Muslim as a close friend? 60% of those surveyed in Northern Ireland saying no. This is a robust survey. Where are people getting this from? Do they form their view on Muslims from what they see on television? From what they read in the newspaper?
I think they get it from the likes of Katie Hopkins' inflammatory Twitter feed and from her Daily Mail columns.
Okay, Katie?
That's where I think they get it from.
I accept that your stat there, I would also say 27% of British Muslims support the terror attack on Charlie Hebdo magazine where men, women were slaughtered.
Interesting
at their death.
Deflection
now, that's
there.
A different stat.
Where's that
I'm
stat from? Where's that stat
that's
from?
A BBC survey, April 2016. I can send you the link right now if you'd like.
We'll look it up right now.
Great.
Okay, Kevin. In Ballyhinch. Go ahead, Kevin. Morning.
Okay, Stephen. So first of all, where do you start? I'm one of the 40% obviously embrace Muslims. In actual fact, the best man at my wedding is a Muslim and a very, very close friend. I was on before to you in regards to that. In regards to, where does Katie stop at? Is it all non-Christians in regards to coming into these countries? And then she actually quotes in regards to America and the patriotism. We all know that the biggest genocide ever took place with the Red Indians, over 100 million was slaughtered. So don't talk to me about patriotism and everything else. It's a disgrace what she's coming off with.
Would you like me to respond?
Of course.
So I think if people actually listen to what Donald Trump said, and the reason he had 63 million people voting for him, the reason 57% of Americans support his ban on travel from 7 countries, is because someone has finally stood up and said, enough, if enough of us being victims of terror, we're going to take action first. We're not going to take the risk of another terror attack. We're going to support and defend and protect American people. And you know what I think? That's what's so reassuring, is finally we've got a leader who's going to stand up and protect us. And I see that as a great move, and I also know there's a great many people across the United Kingdom who would like the similar sort of thing imposed here.
Would you like it imposed here?
Would I like a temporary ban on countries where we've had terrorists from imposed across Western Europe? Yes, I would.
But surely we've had terrorists from many countries beyond that 7. In fact, what country have you not had a terrorist from?
Of course, and when you put that to your listeners and you say, well,
I'm putting it to you.
Yeah, 15 of the 9/11 bombers came from Saudi Arabia, they're not on the list. But then if you say to people, okay, should we add Saudi on the list? People say, no, no more countries on that list. Yes, I do think it would be good if we halted travel from any countries where we've had terrorists brought to us from. And I have no understanding why we allow jihadis, for example, back into Britain. It seems to me it causes nothing but trouble. I don't know why we put the human rights of those who want to cause terror ahead of the basic rights of individuals who work hard, try hard, pay their taxes, and are patriots for their country.
I don't think there's anybody arguing that we would like to object. I don't think there's anybody arguing that they would like to object to stopping terrorists coming into any country.
So how are they suggesting we stop terrorists coming into this country?
By profiling people more, Katie, than just what religion they have.
Okay.
And I will agree with you, but how could we show that that's been successful so far? Berlin, Brussels, Nice, Munich. Have we been successful, Stephen, at stopping terrorists getting into our country?
So your solution is ban all Muslims?
No, that's not my solution. You're putting words into my mouth, as you know you are. I'm suggesting until we have extreme vetting in place that we know is tough and resilient and stops our citizens being mowed down by trucks when they're at a Christmas market, then perhaps a temporary travel ban from some countries where we know there is terrorist activity and we have proven links to terror, perhaps a temporary travel ban is a good thing.
And I repeat my question. Which country, then, is there not a potential terrorist threat from?
I wouldn't be able to answer your question.
So therefore, if you follow your logic, you would ban everybody from travelling to America.
I would not ban everybody, no. But I do think at the moment we can agree, you and I, Stephen, we can agree, can't we, well, that our vetting is not sufficient if we still have people being blown up, well, knifed, axed,
well,
shot.
Well, let me give you an example.
Right.
Hold on.
So let me ask you a question.
Well, let me give you an example,
you're
Kenny.
You're always asking questions. I'm going to ask you one.
Well, that's the whole
point. Kind of the point of what I do.
Vetting? Have we got our vetting sorted yet, Stephen? Have we got it right?
It's just tiring that you're asking me questions, which you know it's not my role to answer on the BBC.
I'm asking you a simple question.
It's tiring.
Well, let me answer that question.
Hold on 1 second. Kitty, let me ask you this.
Sure.
In Northern Ireland, the dissident threat from dissident Republicans is substantial. They tried to kill a police officer last week. So there would be a dissident threat. The British state would be seen by the dissidents as their enemy. Would you ban people from Northern Ireland travelling to elsewhere in the UK?
Show. You can cut me off.
No, they're not brown enough.
I'm not answering any more of your questions until you answer mine. Have we got vetting correct yet in Western Europe?
I'll answer your question like this. You know rightly that on the BBC...
Oh, here we go. You're not allowed an opinion.
Correct.
How convenient is that?
Correct.
So Gary Lineker can march with the protesters. He works for the BBC. He can stand with a placard, but you can't have an opinion, Stephen. You can just criticise the opinions of others.
What Mr. Lineker does is none of my business. He's also
a
sports presenter.
Employees of the BBC.
He's also a sports presenter. In the role I have, as you well know, it's not appropriate for me to express an opinion.
But you can criticise the opinions of others.
I'm not criticising, I'm questioning, Kelly.
But it'd be interesting if you had to have an opinion, wouldn't it, Stephen? And I could challenge you, have we got vetting right? I think you and I both agree we have not. When I ask you what the solution to that is, it can't simply be leave our borders open, let more people come. It has to be something in the order of what Trump's done, which is reminding people America has strong borders. America will build a wall. America will not allow people to target innocent Americans. And I think that is a fantastic thing.
I mean, the
Katie Hopkins, it makes no sense. Carry on.
Well, I would argue that if you look at the biggest issue facing to keep America safe is gun crime. No people are killed by guns by fellow Americans. But you wouldn't talk about that. President Trump doesn't introduce an executive order to ban guns from
campaign platform.
Well, I'm sorry. If it's about keeping America safe, as you said...
No, it's about his campaign platform.
No, you said it's about keeping America safe. President Trump talks about American safe.
I'm a supporter of guns.
How many children, were killed at the Sandy Hook school? How will you stop that? How will you stop the shootings that have happened? We saw a deranged far-right extremist.
You changed the subject massively, Mohammed, to
speak your
agenda.
Well, I'm sorry, you changed the subject onto refugees.
Okay,
Stephen, let me at least...
All right, listen, let's address the issue rather than people. Mohammed, let's address the actual issue.
Again, I'm saying to you that the biggest issue facing the United States is gun crime. Yes, Katie Hopkins and Donald Trump are not prepared to talk about that. That proves to you that they've got an anti-Muslim agenda.
Listen, Kitty, always nice to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed. Mohammed Shafiq, thank you. Morning to you. 03030 80 55 55. Just to give you the totality, by the way, of this BBC survey that Kitty Hopkins mentioned, because she didn't cite all of it, of course. The survey did say that 27% of the 1,000 Muslims polled by Comres said that they had some sympathy for the motives behind the Paris attacks. Almost 80% said they had found it deeply offensive when images depicting the Prophet were published. 95% of those Muslims who were surveyed said they felt a loyalty to Britain. 93% of those Muslims who were surveyed said that they obey British laws. 11% felt sympathy for people who want the fight against Western interests. So that's just some more of the statistics. If we come back to the central point as to why we're doing this programme this morning, it's about Northern Ireland and the Social Attitudes Survey 2015. That's the most recent survey here in Northern Ireland. And my goodness, what a talking point that Janice, who came on the programme yesterday, has actually now stimulated. Because if that most recent survey is indicative of how people think and feel in Northern Ireland, why? why did the majority of the respondents, 60%, say they would not want a Muslim as a close friend? What's that about? What is that about? And let's try to understand that from your calls this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. Are you one of those people? Are you one of the 50% who would not want a Muslim as a work colleague? If so, why? What's going on in Northern Ireland?